everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Merry meet and merry part, bright the cheeks and warm the heart. For tread the circle thrice about to keep unwelcome spirits out. Bide within the law you must, in perfect love and perfect trust. Mind the threefold laws you should, three times bad and three times good. These eight words the reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And hi, mate. Merry meet, everybody, and welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, we're going to do a little bit different of a show tonight. It all started last Sunday when Dinah Roseberry and I taught an online class on animal spells and magic at WitchCon. And at some point after it was over, we kind of thought maybe it would be interesting not to repeat the class, but maybe talk about some bits and pieces on tonight's show. So that's what we're going to do. And I think she's raring to go, aren't you, Dinah?
I'm here. I don't know about raring to go, but I'm here.
All right. Well, before we get started, and in case I forget, you might want to mention your two books about animals, because that's what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Right. Well, my two books for the animals are Pet Psychics Solving Paranormal Mysteries, and then also Animals Impacting the World, which I wrote with Mary Gaspera, who is an animal communicator.
Yeah, so we're all animalistic today. So if anybody has any questions or comments and you're not in the chat room, you can join us at paraxradionetwork.com. And just a quick mention, because for those who might want to listen to some of the 100 classes plus from this year's event, you can get access to the archives for a really good deal, actually. And I'm not getting paid to say this, because, you know, usually one online class can cost probably around $100. But if you go to witchcon.com/archives.php, for $75, you'll get access to all 100 classes on demand. And, I mean, there's just so many different topics to choose from, and some from very well-known instructors from all over the world. And they never take it down. So once you get that, you can watch and listen to all the classes. And it's just something that may be interesting to somebody. All right. So we chose Animal Spells and Magic to do the class because it tied into my book by the same name. But then there was so much more in the book, just like spells. I mean, for example, Tim Shaw did a chapter on Reiki for pets, and shaman Willie Windwalker Gibson did a chapter on animal totems. David Wells did a chapter on pet astrology, and Dinah did a chapter called Spellbound by Animal Communications. And I think we're going to start off by talking about that, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess the first thing about the animal communications is that I never intended to do animal communications. I love animals, but I really didn't know all that much about this particular topic. And I was working on a paranormal book that was to take place up in Pennsylvania. And one of the people I worked with at Schiffer Publishing said, hey, there's something on animal communications where you can talk to animals. Over it's a class. Why don't you go take it? So I did. It was amazing. It was a 2-day class. And once I did that, I did not look back. Instead of having a paranormal book, I had a whole book to begin with and then one to follow up. And I learned so much from it. And the biggest part is that anybody can do it. So that's where I guess we should begin. What do you think?
Yeah, usually that's a good place to start, unless, you know.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I'm just going to say something stupid. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, when you first start with animal communications, I always tell people one of the most important things for you to do is the intent. Now, in the Wiccan practice and witches, we use intent all the time, but that goes across the board for every person, whether it's prayer related, visualization, meditation, any of those kinds of things. Take your energy from yourself, which we're going to go into a little bit more later with Marla, but you take your energy and focus it all in one place, and that's how you can begin to talk to the animals. I always like to say that the communications for meditation and visualization, they're part of quieting your mind, not the animals, but quieting your mind for dealing with them. Sometimes they talk in pictures, or you receive in pictures, let me say. Sometimes you hear words. Sometimes you don't hear anything. It just all depends on how well you can use your intent. Before using the intent, we want to talk about the protection of white light. Marla, you want to talk about that first?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think most everybody that's listening in knows about the white light. You know, you do it on yourself. You can do it other people. It's just a protection thing, which is basically a visualization. You know, you see yourself being surrounded by the bright light, or if you're doing it for somebody else, you kind of get their picture in your head and you just do it. And you can say, you don't even have to do a spell. You know, I mean, you could just do that. Use your mind and let it do its work. And it does, I think. I guess I kind of do it like a bubble, put a bubble around somebody. And then you can also throw in some healing, because there's something called golden healing that people talk about. So if you put somebody in the bubble and you see like smoke in there, it's not smoke, but you see like gold wisps and stuff that the person can breathe in, and that's kind of a very helpful thing to keep healthy. So, I mean, there's just so many ways to do it, you know, and you have to do it. In spell work, you do what you need to do that makes you comfortable in doing it. Just because you see somebody telling you how to do something, you can make it personalized for yourself, make it easier, make it more difficult, you know, whatever. Because it's all about, again, intent. What you're doing, you have to make sure that you're sure that it's going to happen while you're doing it. And yeah, so that's, but the white light of protection is good. Well, a lot of people do that before they go out on investigations, right?
Yes. And for animal communication, I have found, and you're absolutely right by what you were saying about people doing what's best for them. But if you don't do something to either protect yourself or the visualization, or learn how to shut it down and bring it up, it's one of those be careful what you wish for kind of things. I'll tell you a small story related to this before we talk more about the visualization. And it's not one of your Bentley bird stories. It's another bird story. you might think that at some point I became obsessed with birds. It just seems like they were everywhere when I was learning the initial animal communications. But anybody who knows me knows I get headaches. And I was in the Pet Value up in Pennsylvania, and I had a really bad headache. I had not put a protective light around myself. I had not opened the communications to animals. I just was there. And when I went to check out, I was getting, dog food or cat food, I forget which. I put it up on the counter, and my head was like pounding. Next to the cash register was this huge bird cage with this beautiful colored bird. I forget what they're called. I don't know if it was a toucan or a, I don't know what it was, or a parrot. It was just big, and it was screaming. It was screaming, and my head was like on fire because this bird was so loud. They have loud, not only loud voices, but the pitch can really split your head. Mm-hmm. So this bird was yelling and yelling and yelling. And what I was hearing in my head, mind you, with all my work that I'd been doing with communications, I'd been seeing things and knowing things, but I wasn't really hearing anything. So it can come to you in a variety of ways. So I kept hearing in my head, water, 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 water. And it was over and over and over. And finally, I'm a very laid back, easygoing person. I don't get mad easily or anything like that. But I looked up at the young cash register and I said, will you get the bird some water? And she looked up at me and she says, I just changed the water yesterday. I said, change it again and do it now, please. And I was it was really nasty. So she kind of backed up. She was a young girl. So she was kind of intimidated by me and my age and me not exactly yelling at her, but I was really, my head was really hurting. Mm-hmm. So she went off real quick and she got water and she put it back and the bird quieted down immediately.
Oh.
I went and I apologized to the girl. I said, you know, I'm really sorry. I communicate with animals and this, you know, and I explained it to her. And then she goes, no worries. We get all kinds here. So in addition to learning about the animals, you also know that people think you're an idiot for doing it.
Well, yeah, Dr. Doolittle, yeah.
Yeah, you have to get over that hump. That hump is something. But the point of this whole thing is not only do you have to protect yourself, but you have to be able to open it, shut it down, and all that's done through visualization. Some people shut this down by picturing in their mind a light switch and just flicking it on and off. There's a lot of things. You pick it. You figure out what your charge is, and then you do it. But doing it is important. The way I do it is almost, it's in between a visualization and a meditation. I take an elevator down as though I'm being hypnotized almost, self-hypnosis, and at the bottom of the elevator, it opens up, and that's my animal communication world. And I have a group of animals that are there all the time. Some are living, some have passed on, but they're there all the time. Marla's bird is always there and always causing trouble. His name is Bentley, and he is, it's been many years that I've been in and out working with this, and he never stops. He is always there and he always has something to say and it's always sarcastic. And in the very beginning, when Marla and I were working in the beginning with this, the first thing I heard was Bentley saying to me, go to hell. You don't know nothing. And I didn't know Marla well back then. And I didn't know what to do about that. You know, I didn't want to look like a nut, but yet, doubting yourself is something that you really have to try to get over when you're doing all these different things, whether it be this kind of visualization or another. So I did go to her and I did say this about Bentley. And she said, this is exactly the kind of thing Bentley would do. So don't doubt yourself. But anyway, the visualization, you can do any kind of visualization you want. If you're comfortable at a water scene or a forest scene or field water, anything that you feel comfortable with, you can make that your animal communication area. You take yourself down into a slight calming place, and then you begin to visualize. A lot of times things just come to you. And that's the way it happened for me at first. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. I just knew things. And other people have told me they have used pictures first, like how to train sometimes, how to train a dog not to hit you with a stick when it's coming back, to lay the stick in front. I had someone tell me about that story and how that worked. So there's all kinds of things you can do. And like Marla was talking with the healing and that kind of thing. But visualization is the most important thing to start with, and that involves intent.
Somebody's probably thinking, what's the difference between visualization and meditation?
Right. Did you want to answer that?
I know. I'm just going to ask you. It just came into my head.
For me, okay, meditation is deeper. Now, this is my opinion, okay? I mean, I don't know what other people say, but when I visualize something, I can see the whole picture. When I meditate, I go to sleep. I have the worst time meditating. If I do self-hypnosis, I go to sleep. So it's very difficult for me to go very low because of that. A lot of people don't have that problem, and you can go deeper. You can get closer if you can go deeper. And meditation's great. Self-hypnosis is great. But I can't always do that unless I'm with somebody. If you're with somebody, it's a lot easier to do these things. But when you're doing it alone, that's when visualization works best, I think.
My mind is working fast. So here I'm throwing things at you and you don't see them coming. But would there be any reason to do hypnosis on an animal?
Hypnosis.
Or is it even possible?
I don't know the answer to that. I've never done that. Because how would you know?
Yeah.
I bet you somebody else who is like either a medium, if the animal was on the other side, or if they're a super hypnosis person, might know the answer to that question. I don't know. I've never done it because I've never needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, if I'm not going to get anything, I don't care what I'm going to do. I'm not going to get it because I don't have the intent where it needs to be.
Yeah, well, that's true. It just popped into my head. It was just like, oh, but you know,
nobody's ever asked me that before, and I've never tried it, so I've never thought of it. So,
well, probably
I don't know. I guess you'd have to do it while they were sleeping, because they would be not able to be quiet enough to focus, because you would have to get them in a quiet state,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd have to communicate. Sounds hard to me. I don't know. If you're really good, I guess you could do it, but it sounds really hard.
Yeah, and maybe not necessary. I mean, somebody one time, when I was talking to them about T, when he was a little bit more, how should I say it in a good word? Never mind. there is sometimes no good word. But, you know, when he was being really bad and biting and knocking things down and everything, and I had somebody talk to her or him, try to, because it was a guest on my program. And she said, there's a wall there. There's a real wall there. But why don't you call me when he's asleep and let me see what I can get through to him then? So that's not kind of hypnosis. I guess that's just kind of reading, getting messages from the animal.
Not to throw in aliens, okay? You know I'm an alien person too.
Yeah.
But I've come across that wall that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And the wall was put up by the other entity. So I'm thinking maybe the other, maybe T's wall. And it's there so that you can't know something.
Yeah.
So there's something that he doesn't want you to know at that particular time. Or maybe he's just cantankerous and like Bentley, but Bentley likes to show off and he likes to make sure you know that he's top bird.
Mm-hmm.
But other animals might just want to dismiss you. Like in my book, I talk about a snake I talked to, and there wasn't a wall, but that snake didn't want to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like him very much either. And it seemed like he was limited in his ability to talk to me. And I don't mm-hmm. understand that either. I don't know if that was me or if it was him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and that happens. Now, I think if you're doing it many, many years and you're doing it religiously and and you get really good at it, I think some of this stuff you will ultimately know, whether mm-hmm. it's you, whether it's them, or why. When you have multiple interests and you're doing multiple things like I do, mm-hmm. I tend to lose some of one thing and move it to another. I think my intent moves around a lot more than most people who are really interested in getting good at this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm thinking too that with remote healing for people, mm-hmm. I can do it sometimes, you know, but there was one case that I wanted to find out something, and they said, yeah, go ahead and try, you know, do it. And I saw a wall, you know, and,
yeah.
you know, people, well, we all say we put up a wall, you know, as a matter of speech, but I think sometimes we actually have it happen when you say it, even though you don't know that you're doing that.
When I saw the alien wall, that was them. There was no doubt in my head that was them. And I could actually see it. It wasn't a wall of substance. It was like a fog wall.
Mm.
And it was over top a friend of mine, like she was laying in bed, and it was over top. And then they were like on top of that, only I couldn't see them. I just knew they were there. It mm-hmm. was. And she told me, she goes, I don't ever want to do that again, and I don't want to know anymore.
Yeah, and really.
She was really serious, and so I never brought it up again, because you have to deal with, even with animals, you have to do what they want. Mm-hmm. And if you were to get a wall from an animal, and I mean, I guess you'd have to figure out if it was a good wall or a bad wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just don't, information shouldn't come out, you know, for whatever reason.
And I don't know, other than a knowing, how that might work. Mm-hmm. We have a deceased friend, you and I, mm-hmm. who could do that. That was Mary Gasparo.
Yeah.
She could read through walls and things like that. I was never able to do that.
Yeah.
So you got to get out there and do it more. You got to practice. And I mean, like, that's practice what you preach. Like, I told her to do that, and then I didn't do it, but she did, and she got really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that whole wall thing is a really interesting topic. And I don't think people should look for the wall right in the beginning when they're learning. If they're not, if they're well into it, I think the wall would be an interesting experimental thing to do and to learn. But I think in the beginning, you got to get the basics down, the foundation, before you can move into something that could hurt somebody. I mean, when you think
True.
About it,
mm-hmm.
it could hurt the animal without you knowing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. People jump in and start doing things without studying or learning, and learning from the right place either. You know,
everybody does that. Everybody does that from time to time. You get excited about something and you want to do it and you want to help and everything, but you end up hurting things more. So you really have to sit yourself down and say, what are my goals here? How far do I want to go? You know, have a plan before you start these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be serious.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it got burbled. So what did you say?
I just forgotten already. It's gone.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts, because we have a few minutes right before the break. So I think this is a good time to do okay. and don't.
Well, I got this from the appendix in my Pet Psychics book. And I tried to pull everything together at the end of the book so that people would recall the important things. And the first thing I got in there, of course, is do your research. But another thing that's really important, many, many people go into this because an animal has passed and they're feeling the pain of that, or they're calling somebody to find out why and that kind of thing. And if you've gone through pet death, you know it is an awful, horrible thing. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But you must study the phases of grief before you go into this as well, if that's what you're looking at. not to go into the pet value like I did and have a bird screaming about water. I'm talking about when somebody either comes to you or you have an animal who has died or where there's any kind of death related, it's best that you look into those phases of grief because you're going to go through them just as if it was a person. So there's no difference. So you have to understand that pain. And then the methods of communicating are going to be beneficial when you talk. Otherwise, I mean, who wants to cry again? You know, you want to have some answers. You want to have more. You don't want to have any more grief. You want to have help. And you remember the harm ye none, you know. So there's that thing. Don't ever use animal communications as a replacement for veterinary care.
Yes.
We do not know when we're going to be wrong. This is all about energy. My energy connected to the animal's energy, your energy connected to your animal communicator that's connected to the animal. There's all kinds of energy floating around there together. And you never know if you're going to be wrong about something. Even psychics and mediums and people like that, they're not right 100% of the time usually. So you don't want to mess around with that when you're working with illness where you'll need a veterinarian. It's not a science, in other words. You can suggest a direction. You can say, you know, it feels like something's wrong with this animal's foot. But then take the animal to the vet.
Yeah. And then you can do your healing as well, but
Then the healing enhances, you know, and you can talk about the Reiki with Tim, his article, too, because, you know, that's the whole key is for the animal. For animal communications, you got to practice. It's the only way you can train your brain. And your brain might fight you every step of the way. I often have that kind of thing going on with me. You know, you say to yourself, I'm crazy. It's as simple as that. I'm a nut. How could I have possibly heard that? And that's why going to one of these classes or talking with other people about animals that you don't know, how that validation comes to you and then you're able to say, wow, I did hear that because so-and-so just told me that's the way it is. So that takes practice. So if you don't practice, you don't get good at it. Local SPCAs are usually good for allowing it. You have to feel them out whether or not you tell them you're doing animal communications. A lot of them believe in it. Some of them don't. And that's the general population. You've got people who believe and people who don't. So you have to just kind of weigh it. And don't get too high on your own abilities because you remember it's energy and you could be wrong. And the information you get in from you anyway, it's from your higher being. It comes from elsewhere. So it's not you. It's you and your intent to interact with your spiritual beings so that you can help somebody else. I use a pendulum sometimes for healing and it's an invaluable tool. I would say learn how to use that correctly. But don't believe everything that the pendulum says, because again, there's that whole energy thing. It's a good backup measure, but there's lots of variables and it's not comprehensive all the time. You just got to understand that the energies are floating everywhere and you don't always know where they're coming from. I think it's good to interact with other people that are in the paranormal world, like psychics and mediums and ghost investigators and their various slants, that kind of thing. They give good encouragement for the most part. Some don't think it is scientific enough, but they don't usually put you down. I don't want to say all the time because sometimes there's some real hard cases for science that come into play for some people who are investigating and they don't want to listen to this because anybody can do it and we can't measure it. The only way we measure it is through that validation. which I think is good. Jump in, Marla, anytime you have something for this.
I'm going to bump in a minute because we're going to take a break. And when we come back, you were just talking about pendulums, and I know that you have some pendulum stories and, you know, a couple other things too. So, let's go to break, and we'll be back, everybody, in about 2 minutes.
Way, there's more Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks right after these important messages.
If you're looking for a truly unique podcast experience, we have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. Like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Missed an episode of Stirring the Cauldron? Then be sure to check out MarlaBrooks.com and check out the archive. And while you're there, check out Marla's weekly Witch's Oracle card reading. Explore the site to find many great resources, such as information on tarot, oracle readings, metaphysical consultations, and links to all of Marla's books. That's MarlaBrooks.com. Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And we're talking with Dinah Rose Berry, and she was talking about pendulums. I love pendulums. I really, really do. And I have a whole bunch of them. But I don't have a whole bunch of pendulum stories like you do, Dinah. So let's talk a little bit about that.
I love pendulums too. And I usually tell people I've gotten so good at the pendulum. Like I could take one of those old phones that had the phone cord, you know, and I could twirl a phone on it. You know, that's how good my intent is for that. I think that's my way of communication. But pendulums, for some people can use them for divining or divination. Other people use them for the energy. Mostly I use mine for the energy because at times when I'm using it for divination, I don't get correct answers, which means my intent is off. So rather than have my intent off, I focus into energy, which I know that I'm good at. So, again, that all falls back into know what your area of communication is for your animal or for anything for that matter before you use it. You don't have to have somebody give you one of these or anything like that. You can just be drawn to them in the store. I was drawn to the one I use all the time about 20 years ago in a store in Portland, Oregon, and I was on the other side of the store, and I had not used a pendulum before, and I could not stay away from that rack and that held them, and I didn't know why, and I didn't want to spend the money that it cost, but I kept walking back to it and back to it. Well, you know, if that happens, you're supposed to do something about it. So The one that drew me, I got, and I still use it to this day. And I have a bunch of them too. If you don't have the finances for them, or if you're a lady and you're attached to jewelry, not that men don't have jewelry, but sometimes the necklaces that we use, You can use anything as a pendulum.
You know what? Can interrupt you for a second, because in the new grimoire I have coming out sometime this year, I have a whole chapter on making your jewelry into pendulums.
Good. And, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So there, so
somebody,
okay.
Somebody gave me a necklace. It's like a long teardrop. And it was, I had breast cancer many years ago. And it's pink, like rhinestone type thing. It's, I love it. It's beautiful. I don't use it as a necklace. I use it as a pendulum. And its energy is just fabulous. You're going to want to check out Marla's thing, because I'm sure you got how to, you know, clean them and keep them in a way that they work their best magic for you. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah, no, I forgot.
We're good. Yeah. We're good.
No, yeah. But yeah, pendulums and all kinds of stuff. You can make a pendulum with string with a little rock at the bottom. You know, it's,
yeah,
it's pencil, anything.
Pencil eraser. An eraser. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, people don't have to really go out and buy, you know, expensive pendulums, or, you know, you can make your own just as long as you have a string and something hanging at the bottom and, you know, it doesn't fall off. Okay.
Yeah, and for people who don't know how to use them, when you grip it, I know I've seen some people use them where your elbow is up in the air and your hand is up in the air and the pendulum is moving. I don't like that method, because when your elbow is up like that, your own energy sometimes can make your hand waver, which can make the movement more on the pendulum than maybe it really is. Mm. I always hold my elbow close to my side so that it doesn't move. So I'm totally immobile in that area. And then I hold it with my thumb and forefinger. I just find I get clearer results. And if you don't get clear results, that means you're not, your intent is not there, or the answer is not there from the other side, or the mm-hmm. energy is not there to give you the answer. But for me, if it swings clockwise, it's yes. If it's counterclockwise, no. If I'm doing a healing over an animal, I do it when the animal is asleep, because they tend to want to, if it's a cat particularly, they want to play with it. If it's a dog, they're just interested. So you want them asleep. Or you can, you know, you can even do it when they're in another room. And, you know, because your intent is to go to the animal. The animal does not have to be there. And then you just let it go swinging clockwise until it stops. Sometimes that 30 seconds, sometimes it's a minute, sometimes it's 10 minutes. I mean, it's as long as the energy is there and available for your animal. So, and you do it as much as you want. Marla was talking about a story. I had a dog, his name was Rufus, and he had congenital heart disease. And I was so sad. And so I was doing healings on him every day. And it did not do any good. He had to be put to sleep. But beforehand, right after that, I'd gone to another animal communicator. Because, by the way, people, sometimes it's difficult to do your own animals. And we can talk about that later, but it's difficult. So I went to another animal communicator, and she told me, she goes, you use some kind of energy from your pendulum or something like that at the end. And I said, yeah, I did. And she says, well, he says that he got healing from that. It took away some of his pain and it relaxed him. So he thanks you for that, even though he wasn't meant to get well by it. So that eased my heart a lot. So I really think, no matter what you think, I think that you are making a difference when you use a pendulum on an animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm changing the subject just a little bit, but in my book, it covers things like candle magic and deities and amulets and gemstones and how they're used. And I think you said something about a gemstone earlier.
Well, you know, I'm kind of weird. Everybody that knows me knows that I'm kind of weird and open to a lot of this stuff. And I'm interested in the gemstones and stuff too. And usually, you know, they all have their meanings and that kind of thing. Well, something closely related, I don't know if it's closely related, but something related to that are apports. And those are things that come to you in physical form through some kind of non-physical thing that happens up in the universe. And I had cleaned out my closet like a month before because I had all kinds of boxes on the floor of this little closet, and I was going to use that space for something else. And it was totally cleaned. It had been vacuumed and everything. And I had another little dog at that time, and she had had severe arthritis and was in terrible pain all the time. So we had to put her to sleep, and she was one of my heart animals. And I was so upset about her death. And then I had been crying and one morning, and I went and I opened that closet up, and on the floor there was an apport, and I'm like, oh, I got a gem from her. I got a gemstone. It was a toilet screw. And I couldn't believe, I don't know why she would send me that and what it meant. And nobody else ever knows what it meant, but there it was. It was sitting in the middle of the floor. Our bathroom was nowhere near this place, this closet. And so the weirdest things can happen in the, I want to call animal communications is not really paranormal, but in that paranormal sense.
Well, it is. It's metaphysical, and so, you know, it's or not supernatural. There's so many different adjectives to describe it that, you know, one you step over the other one. And
Yeah.
But, you know, it was the other thing that we were talking about a little bit in the class was energy, because that's really important if you're going to do something to make it happen. And I was talking about energy balls. And I don't know if I've talked about them here or not, but really quickly I will mention it, because you can do that for animals. You can do that for people. And I hear that it works when you do it. But it's
Marla does it for me routinely for my headaches. I'll call her up and she'll throw me one of these things.
I'm throwing balls at you. Yeah.
Yeah,
but it works. And anybody can do it. You can do it remotely. Obviously, I do, because she's on the East Coast and I'm on the West Coast. But you can also do it to your animals. And it's really, really simple. You know, you just put your hands together and just rub them back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until you feel heat and tingle. And when you slowly part your hands, but you can still feel it tingling between your hands. And even if you kind of very gently try to push it together, it's kind of like two magnets. It kind of won't let you do it. But you have that in your hand, and just think about who you're looking at. If it's somebody, you know, it could be your dog right in front of you. It could be a friend, you know, across the country. But just visualize them, close your eyes, visualize them, and just toss it their way. You know, just kind of throw it down on them. And as you do that, see that the balls are going into them. You can just see it like, poof. They're there. You know, one minute it's there, hits them, and the other it goes in. Because, again, it's one of those things that you have to be sure that you're going to see that it happens and know that it is going to happen. So, I mean, that's really so simple, these energy balls. And, like, you know, not just Dinah, but a couple of other people I tried it on. Because, you know, we all have the thing like, oh, it's not true. We're not really doing this, you know, or I don't have the ability to do it or whatever. But again, the intent and, you know, just kind of knowing how to do it, and it can be your own way, you know, again. Yeah, we can do a lot of things to help people and, you know, not have to take care of calling doctors of every 5 minutes. You know, if somebody comes to the vet and they give them medicine and the vet says, well, this is going to take it a while, you know, it'll whatever. And then the people keep calling every 5 minutes because the animal hasn't gotten well yet, you know, kind of thing. So this kind of helps that. It helps the animal or the person. And, yeah, I don't know. Anybody in the chat room, if you want to say that you've ever tried an energy ball, let me know and see if it worked. And in the meantime, Dina, there was something else that we were going to talk about.
Oh, I want to talk about the animal altar and how to set up one of those.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, you talk about it. You're the one that knows about that.
Oh, my God. There's this airplane that flying over the house. Wait a minute. Oh, my God. I hate it when it gets that low. And you want to know why? This is silly, maybe, but not silly. But when I was a kid, I kept dreaming about a plane crash. And it always went, it went over my head and it went past me and then kaboom. And I don't know what that means. I'm not really good about dream stuff. But when these helicopters, I think it was a chopper, get so damn close, I guess I get thinking about the other thing and, you know, what had happened in the dreams. But yeah. I dreamed all the time about that. I couldn't figure it out. Anyway, so now.
That's really weird. That's got to mean something. Mine from childhood that went on for years and years, and I've got a very bad memory these days, and I've never forgotten this, is I saw like water going down a drain. If you'll remember that thing in Japan, the reactor that blew, and they showed the water going down and things going down, boats going down through it. It was like that. Mm. And I dreamt that. And when you're little, that stuff's terrifying.
Yeah. Well, it's terrifying when you're older, too. I mean,
yeah.
it sticks with you. And this thing sticks with it. And I had another one today. It was twice. They were going really low. And usually, if they're looking for people, they have the light shining down, and then you know it's them. But this one was really big. And okay. So now I forget what I was. Oh, animal altars. Animal altars are just the same as regular altars, but you put little animal things, put pictures and everything. But some people will put their animals on their ancestor altar or the regular altar that they use all the time. And, you know, I've had people talk about altars many, many times on the show. And, you know, you just, it's just put it somewhere where you can quietly sit. And it won't get, you know, like with tea, I have to put it in a bookshelf. Otherwise, he would, you know, make it all messy. But I think altars are important.
Do the animals that you put on there, like I had little, I don't know, Tetley Tea used to have little turtles that they put in the tea bag or in the tea box as a gift. Mm. I was drawn to those, and I have one of those little things on there. Is there a reason? Are you drawn to the things you put on there? Or, what makes a good choice? You know, are you looking for your spirit animals to put on there? Or, you know, I've got people that give me gifts now of those little glass things, like a little glass frog. You know, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but it kind of is why you're putting up the altar in the first place. When I started with my ancestor altar, I put Bentley's picture and a couple of dog pictures and stuff. I put them, you know, because they were all deceased. But some people just use altars for prayers or whatever. But, you know, they're family, you know. I mean, when it was funny because I talk to the altar sometimes. Of course, you talk to a spirit. And, you know, when I started to put the animals pictures in there, you know, I thought, somebody's going to get mad about that. You know, somebody's not going to like that. But I explained that, you know, this altar is an ancestor altar. It's family. And all of these animals were family as well. So I didn't, you know, I didn't get any.
But they don't have to be. Is that right?
No.
Because I don't know why I have some of the ones I have in there.
Mm-hmm. No, it can be anything you want. And, you know, you can put down stuff. I mean, if you have a big enough altar and let's say your animal had a little squeaky toy that you liked, you know, and you wanted to put it up there, you know, you can do stuff like that. It's just, it's comforting, you know? And if the ancestors, you know, sorry, you got to share, but yeah, I think everybody needs kind of an altar of some sort, even if it's got one object on there. You know, maybe you sit there in front of meditate, maybe you do some spell work with that. I mean, there's a thousand things that you can do with altars, but it's a place of worship, and it's kind of your good, happy place, or you know, you sit down and look and talk to the ancestors, and it's comforting, you know. So if you feel like doing it, do it. And some people don't think about doing it, but I love it. I've got a little candle burning, an LED candle burning all the time, little battery one. And, you know, I don't want to forget any of those people.
Yeah.
And them.
It's okay to mix them then, because mine is mixed.
Yeah.
And I don't think you have to be a witch to have one of these.
No.
But that's what I think, yeah.
Well, I mean, people that do yoga and stuff, I mean, you know, and I mean, you don't have to be anything special to do that. I mean, it's everybody has one. Maybe they don't realize. Okay. So you go to somebody's house and they have this big piano, right? And on the piano are pictures of everybody, all these people. You don't know who they are. Well, you know, that's an altar. You may not.
Yeah, that makes sense. I never thought about it that way.
Or on the fireplace, or, you know, pictures on the wall, you know, like you have a wall that has all the pictures of people.
Yes,
all of
yes.
Those things are altars. It doesn't have to be tactile, you know. I mean, something that you can pick up and move around. But, yeah, I think altars are important. And, yeah, so there's the altar thing. So yes. What else are we going to talk about for the next couple minutes?
One of the things in Marla's book that we're probably not going to talk about because we really shouldn't at this point, and that is she's going to teach you how to create your own spell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she did this for me for my office many years ago,
mm-hmm.
and religiously it works because I then – what she did was I would get some – awfully mean calls sometimes. And she
angry would, authors.
Yeah. And she would wrote me a spell that calmed my authors and calmed me. So then after she went about her business and on her way, then I would continue to repeat it and continue to put my intent. There's that intent word again.
Mm-hmm.
Into that spell. And, you know, I can't think of another bad call that I had after that. So I was really the spells are all about intent, too.
Yeah. And, I mean, just as a mention about the book, there's 100, well, not 100 spells. That's in the grimoire. But I think I did the animal spells about subjects that were really important, you know, healing and, you know, bringing a new pet into the house and all kinds of stuff. And it's not just for dogs and cats. I have an aquarium spell, a fish spell, a horse braid spell. So, yeah, so there's a lot of stuff. If you're really into your animals and want to learn a lot of stuff, I mean, it's in there. You don't have to buy it. But, you know, I'm just saying, because a lot of people don't know that, you know, they think, oh, it's a spell book. They're going to do something on the animals. Well, no, it's a spell book for their well-being, not ours.
And, yeah, and you're going to learn how to do it. You're going to learn how to provide that for them.
Yeah, and you know, you're good at doing spells, and you're not technically a witch. I mean, anybody can do it if you know how and do it for the right reasons, right?
Yeah, yes, yes. And that right reason thing, that's important, because sometimes you don't recognize if you're doing it for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's why planning this stuff out is kind of important. You don't want to harm anybody, because that's going to come back on you.
Well, some people don't believe that, but, you know, that's okay. we do.
You'll find out at one point or another, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, we're almost out of time. So where can people find you and the books and stuff?
Well, you can find me all the time on my website. It's www.roseberrybooks.com. You're going to find all the things I'm doing, the shows I'm on, the books I've written. I've written also a lot of fiction, and I've been doing some paranormal flash fiction recently that I've been having a lot of fun with, that I've been on for Marlo's show for that too. I've got a bunch of stuff that I'm interested in. Differ Publishing is who I work for remotely now. And we are accepting proposals, so if on the paranormal nonfiction. So if you have interest in any of these things that we've talked about tonight, or other paranormal topics or UFO topics, drop me a line. You can do that through my website as well. And I'll put you on course to what you got to do next. And that's it. www.roseberrybooks.com.
And then you can get a book done. Perhaps. Yes. Anybody can. As long as you know what you're doing, you can get a book. And that's, it's good. All right. Well, we are going to toddle off. As I said, this was a little bit different kind of show tonight, but it was fun. And next week, we've got somebody really good, if he shows up. It's all about celebrity death certificates. It's a friend of Scott Michaels. And that's, it's going to be fun. All right. So thanks for coming in. And again, thank you for helping me with the class, too, on Sunday.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was good. And thank you all for listening in. And until the next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2024. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompetech.com.